Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. Hello, everybody. My name is Dave Nassani, host of the popular iTunes podcast, Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show, and also best-selling author of It's My Life to Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity. Today, we had just finished recording, or so we thought, Adrian Gruberg of the Caregiver Space, and she was sharing her vision on what she has decided to do with her life after she was no longer a caregiver. And it was an amazing video. Unfortunately, no one will be able to hear it or see it because of technical difficulties. The memory was full and it didn't record. And I didn't see the little note that said, you have to delete some files before you can record this. So I need a show. So I thought, let me come on and share with everybody what Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, does when he gets some time away to himself. Now, once a week, I pay to have a caregiver come in for my wife, Charlene, who suffered a massive stroke 21 years ago, lost her speech, became paralyzed. And so she can still communicate non-verbally, but she can't speak. And she can still get around, even though she can't walk because she has a power wheelchair. And we have a very good mobility van with a lift. So we go on cruise ships. We go on airplanes. We go literally all over the world in her wheelchair. As you can see, I'm in my favorite spot, my hammock. And this is the view that I get to look at in my backyard. So I'm just one lucky dog, except for the leaves, because it's been very windy today in the pool. But I am just so grateful to have a place, and every caregiver should have a place where they could just escape. So once a week, this caregiver, a good friend of ours, takes Charlene away in her handicap van with the lift, and she does different things with her. Whatever Charlene wants to do, she'll go shopping. She loves to shop. And she loves to eat at restaurants, and she loves to go to the movies. Another day of the week is our day. It's our date day. We've been doing it for 42 years. And so we have been going to the movies and going to dinner once a week. I'd say in the 42 years, we probably missed, I could count on one or two hands how many times we've missed, because she's very possessive of Thursdays. That is her day. And if something comes up, boy, I got to have a really, really good story to have before she allows us to be interrupted by something other than our date. Now, this Thursday, she has a little problem with her van. It needs to be serviced, and Thursday was the only way they could do it. So I've got to schedule something at 8 o'clock in the morning while she's still sleeping, because she sleeps till about 11 or so. She has a little trouble getting to sleep, insomnia. Takes a while for the sleeping pill to kick in. And this is what I do on my day off when Charlene is not here. I just lay in my hammock. And sometimes I take a nap, but I relax. I just think about whatever I want to think about. I look at the beautiful palm trees up there and the beautiful blue sky. And I just am awed by God's beauty in nature. How if there was no oxygen, that these living things, and if there was no water and if there was no sunshine, this would all be dead and brown. So I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for the earth. I'm grateful for the blue skies and all the things we can't see, like the air and the wind. And I'm just grateful for life, and I'm grateful to be a caregiver. Now, caregiving has not always been fun, but you have to make it fun. Marriage is not always fun, but you have to make it fun. Marriage is what you make it. And Charlene and I have decided a long time ago that we were not going to end up like those old married couples who yell at each other every day and claim that they're in love, or be like those old decrepit people on cruise ships who are in a wheelchair and bent over and are on oxygen. They look like they're 1 foot away from the grave. We were going to travel while we were young and not wait until we were old. And basically, we've done that. And she did have a stroke young in life, 52 years old. That's pretty young. 52 used to seem old to me until I became 52. Then it seemed pretty young. But I am now 63, and in about a month and 2 weeks, I will be 64. And that is pretty amazing because I came from the 70s where we believed not to trust anyone over 30. And by 30, I was going to have $1 million. And by 30, I was going to do this and I was going to do that. And all of a sudden, you become 30 and it just changes your perspective. Those of you who are older, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are younger, just wait. So anyway, getting back to caregiving and relaxing. I wrote a book. It's my life too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. Do you know not all people are happy about that title and not happy about the subject matter of that book? There's about a third of caregivers who are just set in their ways, and they're kind of stubborn about it. They have a trouble with the concept that caregivers can be a little selfish. Like I'm being a little selfish right now, right? I'm just caring for me. I'm putting my needs first. I sent my wife away, and I'm just being selfish. And a lot of people, they can't be selfish for 1 second because they believe that their loved one is more important than them and that they deserve everything. And if they run out of resources, they run out of energy, they run out of whatever, they're just going to keep giving, giving, giving till there's nothing left to give and they just drop. Like your cell phone, right? Where's my cell phone? I don't know where my cell phone is, but it has a little icon of a battery on there. And if I don't keep that phone charged throughout the day, because I can make calls for about an hour and it'll go from 100% to 50% in an hour. That's an iPhone. And I says, is that, well, you're doing a lot of stuff. You're going on Facebook, you're going to the website, you're doing this, you're doing that. And so I bought this battery that just kind of I can take with me. I'm not trapped at an electrical outlet because who wants to be trapped in an electrical outlet for an hour? But these batteries are cool because they can go from 50% back up to 100% in like 10 minutes. Whereas you plug it in, it might take 30 minutes. So when I forget to do this, and I'm on an important call or doing something important and not near a phone jack or plug and not near my battery, and all of a sudden I hear this beep and I'm looking and there's a red battery flashing 2%, 1%, I say, oh, I hate that, but the body is the same way. When you don't get 8 hours sleep a night, when you don't eat nutritious food, and all you feed is junk food, and you don't drink enough water, and you don't do all the things to put your needs first, your body's going to start flashing 1%. Danger, Will Robinson, if you remember that show Lost in Space back in the 70s, you are going to shut down. That body of yours can only go so far, it's going to shut down. And you might be in the middle of driving a car and have a nervous breakdown or have a stroke or have God knows what. You've got to take care of yourself. But as I said, some people, they just don't get it. They are certain that they were called to be the sacrificial lamb, the martyr, so to speak, the one who's just going to give perfect care all the time to their loved one, and it doesn't matter what it costs them. They'll give you the shirt off their back. They'll give you their health. And here's the shocking statistics, people. Out of the 65 million adults in the U.S. who are unpaid, 30% will actually die before their loved ones do. Now, that's a shocking statistic. And of the ones that don't die, you know, the 70%, many of them quite often will become sicker than their loved one and eventually need a caregiver themselves. Now, that's not a good situation. I don't care how you look at this. That is not a good situation. So what are we going to do about it? You have to, that's why I wrote the title of the book. It's My Life Too. Yes, it's the life of my loved one. I love my wife. I care for my wife. She is, next to God and next to me, the most important thing in my life to take care of. Now, some of you will have a problem with what I just said. Okay, you may not have the problem with the God thing, but putting my needs second to God and put my wife or my loved one's needs third. And by the way, the kids come after the wife, just in case you were wondering. You're just going to have to realize that I'm right and you're wrong. So our book is mostly to those who already know that they need to put their needs first, but they just don't know how. So I like to say there's three kinds of people in the world. There's caregivers, there's those who are going to become caregivers, and those who are going to need a caregiver. So you see, there's no escaping caregiving. It's here and it's coming. And eventually, one day, sooner or later, it's going to touch your life. So doesn't it make sense to read about it, how to be a caregiver now? I mean, they should have taught you this in grade school, how to be a caregiver, you know, how to change a diaper, how to whatever, how to be a parent, how to cook a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, don't they do that in home ec? Well, they should have like caregiving ec. And if not grade school, they should have done it in high school. Because once your loved one becomes disabled, it's too late. You will rarely find the time to do what I'm doing right now, because it took me 2 years to learn how to do this. Because that's called the grief period. My wife's grieving. I'm grieving. She's grieving because she lost use of her body. She can't talk. She can't walk. I'm grieving because I lost my wife. And everybody's grieving. And what's grief? Well, it's denial. Oh, my gosh, this isn't happening. There's anger. I am so upset this is happening. There's bargaining. There must be a way out of this. How can I get out of this? There must be a way. And then there's depression. Oh, my God, there's no way. I'm depressed. And that's a serious one, because a lot of suicides happen during the depression phase of grief. But then there's that wonderful, wonderful phase called acceptance. Ah, I just love the sound of that word, acceptance. After 2 years of grief, and anger was my wife's favorite emotion, by the way, she finally started to come around, because I couldn't take anymore. I was going to leave her, because I just couldn't be the brunt of all that anger and all that unappreciation. I wrote her a letter. I said, "Charlene, why are you so mean to me? I know this is hard on you, but you're making it even harder on me to care for you." I said, "I just don't think I can care for you. I'll take care of you financially. I can't be with you." And I almost gave it to her. But I just didn't have the heart. Now, don't get me wrong. I loved my wife. I wanted to love her. I wanted to care for her. I wanted to be that man that married her 42 years ago, or in that case, it was 21 years ago. But she was making it impossible. I would feel so guilty. And then one day I found a business card in my pocket. I don't remember how it got there, who gave it to me. I read it. It was an advertisement for a caregiver group. Somebody obviously must have given it to me when I was in the hospital and I was kind of in shock or delirious or asleep or something, because I was living 6 weeks in the hospital right next to my wife's bed. That was a long time. And so I went to the group. I says, I didn't even know what a caregiver was, but I says, if somebody gave me this card, I must need it. And I met people there. Everything changed for the better. I met people there who were just like me, burned out caregivers. And I learned things like, if I didn't take care of me, I couldn't take care of my wife. The airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. I mean, what an amazing metaphor for all of life. Take care of you first, not out of selfishness, but out of survival. Selfishness is not a dirty word, by the way, in caregiving. Well, anyway, after a couple of years of going through this and just taking care of me so that I could take care of her, just not letting what she would do or say affect me, just taking care of me so I can take care of her like a machine. It was a hard 2 years, and I don't remember too much about it because I blocked it out of my memory because it was really, really rough. And I had to get away quite often. I would get a babysitter for her, or in her case, a woman sitter, a caregiver. And I have to fly to Florida, fly to New York, fly to, where was the other place I flew to? Nashville. I have relatives in all three of those cities. And they just nurtured me. They knew what I was going through, and they knew I needed respite, rest. And I came back recharged, refreshed, ready to go another 1, 2, 3 months, however long it was. And I would take these mini vacations. I would go get a massage. I would go to Starbucks. I would go shopping, believe it or not. And I hate shopping. But it was better than when you just have to get out of the house. And so slowly but surely, I noticed that if I was able to change, that my wife started to change. And she slowly became her old self again. And our love was rekindled slowly at first. And I noticed that she was becoming like she always was, a cross between Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. She came to a point where she said, you know, if I'm still here, because she wanted to be dead, the doctor warned against leaving her medication alone with her because they said, people in this position, they take their lives sometimes because they're so depressed. And women use pills and men use a gun. So if you have a man, keep the guns out of the house. And if you have a woman, keep the pills out of the house. But she came to, she has very strong faith, always has, and her faith was challenged. But she came to the conclusion that if God still has me here, he must still have a purpose for me. So she decided to reinvent herself. She decided she was going to do everything that she used to do before. And she did a lot. She was a wedding coordinator. She's a gourmet cook. She was an interior decorator. She used to do the artsy, craftsy stuff. She used to make dolls and dress dolls and sew dolls and we're talking about ceramic dolls. She used to paint faces on them. She used to paint things on wooden horses. She was amazing. She used to build doll houses. This woman could do anything. And she started to amaze me. I would come home, the laundry was done, the house was clean, food was on the table, and I would look around to see where are the elves or the gnomes that helped you throughout the day. But she's like a one-armed wallpaper hanger. You ever see a one-armed wallpaper hanger? Neither have I. But if there was ever one, she would be it, because she can do amazing things with one arm and one leg. And she knows about 100 words, but really she knows about 12. The other 88 are in her head and they're hard to grab. She forgot how to speak. She forgot how to spell the words, so she can't write very well. Fortunately, everything coming in is good. She can understand and she can read. It's amazing to me that she has done this for 21 years, because I tried to do it for 24 hours. I put some duct tape over my mouth, and it hurts when you have a beard to rip the duct tape off, let me tell you. I didn't think about that. And I tied my arm behind my back. It was hard to tie my leg behind my back, but I couldn't do it. After 20 minutes, I ripped off the duct tape. Sorry, I did, by the way. But I couldn't do it. I says, okay, you are Wonder Woman. She's a cross between Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman, like I said. And she makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers. And when I grew up, I just wish that I had her determination, her self-will, her willpower. She's amazing. And my claim to fame, I always was known as the husband of Charlene because she was so amazing. And now she can't talk, she can't walk, and she's still amazing. She's still more amazing than me. I'm still in her shadow. I'm still known as the husband of Charlene. And she's, some of her nicknames are like the Queen of England because she always dresses up. I've got to put a jacket on or I look like a bum next to her. And she can't go out of the house no matter where she's going without like she's going to a ball. But that's my wife. She's a high maintenance woman, and I guess I knew that when I married her. But I'm not complaining. I have no complaints. I'm very happy. She keeps me very happy. She feeds me very well, as you can tell. It's hard to keep my weight right around 165 to 170. It's been a while since it's been there, but that's the goal. Sometimes I get down to 172, and then I went on this book tour, went to Savannah, Georgia, and tried fried green tomatoes and fried chicken and fried tacos and some French onion soup, how they do it down in South. And I gained 5 pounds just eating that fried stuff. Because I've been on my book tour all across the country. I've appeared on 14 morning shows so far on ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox since I wrote my book. And I've done 3 book signings in Santa Clarita, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and where was the third place? Well, it was somewhere. Was it in Virginia, maybe? I can't remember. How can I not remember my third book signing? I think it was Virginia. Bristol, Virginia. That's where it was, I think. I'm surprised I can remember anything because as we get older, our memory starts to fade. And, everyone's worried about, oh, am I going to get Alzheimer's? Am I going to get dementia? My mother died of dementia. And so I saw this free clinical trial for early detection of dementia. So every 6 months I go and I take the test. And, I'm right on the borderline. I'm not demented. And they said that I'm not getting worse. And this last time, since I started doing all this extracurricular stuff, because they say crossword puzzles helps and learning new songs on the piano helps and doing my radio show helps. And so I'm actually getting better. I'm getting a little further away from the borderline. So that's good news because I've told my kids if I ever get to be like my mother was, just, here's the guns, just make it look like an accident. But you think I'm kidding? I mean, I don't want to live not knowing who I am, and I don't want to live being a burden to my children. Now, I don't know what my alternatives are, but I just pray to God that it never happens. And I know there's a lot of people out there that it is happening to, and I'm very sorry. And I don't know why it's happening. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I don't know why it had to happen to President Reagan. And I don't know why it had to happen to a friend of mine at he was president and CEO of Carnation Company. And I think when he was 68 or 69, he had a stroke and he couldn't talk, just like my wife. And it was just tragic. And he had a couple of kids who didn't like him. Because, they felt like they were wronged. I don't know why I'm talking about him, but I'm not giving his name, so it's okay. And they really started abusing him because they wanted his money. And so they started, attaching his assets and stuff. There are laws in place now to keep kids from doing that. In fact, my mother-in-law now has dementia, undiagnosed, because she's in denial about it, because she can pass the test, but She doesn't know what she said 3 minutes after she says it. And every day I get a call that someone's breaking into her home, somebody's stealing her jewelry, somebody's stealing her silverware, someone's stealing her, you name it. But I have video cameras up there, and I look and I see, you're the only one there. You, the dog, and the cat. Nobody broke into your house. And she doesn't believe it. She says, well, there's something rotten in Denmark, because I know I remember I put it here and it's not here. And I says, well, maybe you just forgot where it was. Because eventually she'll find something and say, somebody brought back what they stole. So, I mean, there's no winning with that. Anyway, what's my point of all of this? To teach you how to just relax and not feel guilty about it. I talk about guilt on my shows that I do. And one of the mistakes that caregivers make is they allow people to guilt them. But you know what? People can guilt themselves. Like, I could just be laying here saying, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Oh, I should be cleaning the house like Charlene wanted me to do. And sometimes you should, but not all the time. Because you're on duty 24/7. And if you get a chance to relax, then relax. Don't feel guilty that there's dishes in the sink or that there are things that need to be done. So sometimes we can guilt ourselves into doing things that we shouldn't be doing because this is the my me time. Sounds real selfish, doesn't it? Well, get used to that word selfish because it's not a dirty word. When the pendulum is swung so far over to giving that you drop dead and 30% of you can't survive the one you're living for, then that pendulum has to move back toward the selfish. And sometimes it has to go past the middle just to compensate for all the years that you weren't selfish. So anyway, I call it the Sanford and Son syndrome. And why do I do that? Because there was a show, as you know, back in the 70s, God, 50 years ago. Am I really that old? But it's in syndication, so a lot of people know about the show. Lamont was caregiver to his father, Fred Sanford. And Fred was always guilting his son into doing stuff he had no business doing. And it went something like this. Oh, this is the big one. No, son, really, it's the big one. Elizabeth, I'm coming for you, honey. Sweetheart, I'll be right there. And his son would cave every single time because he was fearful that his father would die and he'd feel guilty that the last thing that he told his father was no, and his father just drops dead. And caregivers are the same way. Their loved ones, as nice and loving as they are, can sometimes be manipulative and throw that guilt. Well, I took care of you all your life, changed your diapers. The least you can do is blankety blank blank, And so that kind of guilt will kill you. And not asking for help will kill you, right? It's like, here's a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. Turn it on, punch in the phone number. Hello, Mom. I need help. Grandma's driving me crazy. Call your brother, call your sister, call your wife's ex-husband, call somebody. Caregivers have to get over the fact that they're not perfectionists, that if they don't do it all by themselves, that they're a failure at caregiving. That attitude will kill you. And the other thing they do is they don't put their needs first. I already explained how we're to put our oxygen mask on first. We have to come first. Okay? And I tell my wife that all the time when I feel like it's necessary. I try not to use it as a crutch and as an excuse to not do something for her because I love her and I want to do for her. It's my job. And I do it happily and with a good spirit. But sometimes I'm on break and she needs to. I says, I'm doing this right now. If that can wait, I'll be there when I get there. And she has to be patient. And if your loved one is demanding and insists that it's not a real emergency, she just wants you to change the channel or something, tell her. I would be happy to do that in 15 minutes when I'm done with this. You set a boundary, and it's not being mean, but a lot of times this is happening because you never initiated the boundaries. They don't know where the line is to cross. And so they cross it. And you're upset, but you never told them where the line was. So there's a book out there called Boundaries. You should buy it if you have a problem making boundaries. Do you have a problem with confrontation? Okay. What else can I talk about? Well, I think that being a caregiver is a very hard job. And I'm not sure who has the harder job, the caregiver or the loved one. You can debate this till the cows come home. But I think I finally decided that it's a draw. We both have a hard job. My wife obviously can't talk, can't speak. I would never want to be that. But I don't think she could handle my job. I mean, God gave me grace to be a caregiver, to put up with a lot of stuff. And I don't resent it. I'm not bitter about it. It's the new normal. And I do it with a happy spirit because he gave me the grace to do it that way. If I was my wife, I'd probably slit my wrist because I can't even imagine going through one day of being a slave to her body. But somehow God gave her the grace to be Charlene. And I can't do it. She can't do what I'm doing. I can't do what she's doing. We each have tailor-made trials to help us reach whatever perfection in our character that we're supposed to reach before we die on this earth. Because I believe this earth is just a training ground for the next life. Yes, I do believe in a heaven. Yes, I do believe in rewards for your faithfulness. If you don't, I'm sorry for you. You know, if you believe that when you die, you just die and you go back to the blackness that you had beforehand, I believe the Bible. Bible doesn't say that. The Bible's been around a long time. The Jews protected it and took good care of it. And when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they compared the 1500 year difference between the last set of scrolls they had and this set of scrolls, and they were identical. Every I dotted, every T crossed in the Hebrew language. I don't know if they have I's and T's, but you know what I'm saying. And those scribes were very meticulous. If they made a mistake, there was no eraser. They burned the whole thing and started all over again. And they would count the letters across, they would count the letters down, they would count the letters diagonally, they would count the spaces between the letters, and that's how they knew that they had a perfect copy. So yes, I do believe it. But we're not here to talk religion, so, and we're not here to talk politics, because those are two conversations that never end well with friends and family. So if you're at a holiday, because the holiday's coming up, just don't talk politics and don't talk religion, because you want to have a peaceful, stress-free time with family during the holidays. So the other advice I would give you is don't cook. Go to a restaurant like Marie Callender's or Rattler's out here or a barbecue place. I mean, whatever you want. You don't have to have turkey. You can have tri-tip. You can have ham. You could have fish if you're vegetarian. You could have a soy patty. I don't know. I wouldn't want that, but you could if you wanted to. And everybody chips in $5, and you have a beautiful, stress-free Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner. That's what we did for Thanksgiving. Had it at my daughter's house. And there was no stress about who's bringing this and who's bringing that. And that's what I recommend. Well, I think we've covered enough. I can't see the clock on this screen to see if I'm at the full hour, but it's okay if I'm not, because this will substitute the show. Adrian and I will do another show and we'll talk about the caregiver again. And so I'm going to sign off, but before I do, I'm going to give you a little commercial of my book trailer and then a little sample of one of the shows that I've done. So thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. And stay tuned for the book trailer and the show segment that I did.
Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. Will help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver, on sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com.
65.7 million adults in the United States are unpaid caregivers. And you know, we do this because we take care of our family, we love our family, we want to make sure they're giving, are getting the right care. But just because you're a caregiver doesn't mean you have to give up your life. I'm joined now by best-selling author Dave Nassani. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for this is really interesting because, you know, a lot of times when people think about being a caregiver for a family member, they feel like, okay, I have to give up everything that I'm doing in my life, but that's not the case.
That's not the case. Unfortunately, it's the case for many who are caregivers.
Right.
But, you know, they just don't realize that, like the airlines tell us, put your oxygen mask on first.
Okay.
And then you can help your loved ones with their mask. On the other hand, caregivers just give and give and give, and then there's nothing left to give, and then they burn out, and now they're both in trouble.
Right. And so with this, you have some things that people can do to get to reclaim their caregiver sanity. I like the way you put that. All right, so what's something that people can do in order to do that?
Well, obviously, the first thing that they can do is put their needs first, you know, like the airlines told us. I mean, what a great metaphor for all of life. If you can't take care of you, how are you going to take care of anybody else?
That's very true.
And the other thing is ask for help. Mm-hmm. So many people, they think that asking for help, I'm talking about caregivers, that it would make them a failure as a caregiver. You know, I'm a caregiver, I should be able to do this. But no, nobody can do it. You need help. So you have to reach out your hand and ask people for help. And when they do offer to help, be specific. Tell them, you know, I need lettuce at the store. Can you pick it up at 6 o'clock? No, well, how about tomorrow at 7? You know, don't let them off the hook. Be specific.
What do you say to people who are watching this, they're taking care of a parent or a loved one or something like a husband or a wife or something like that, and they say, oh, if I do that, I feel guilty?
Yes, guilt is a biggie, you know, but I like to say that there's undeserved guilt. And I think of Sanford and Son, you know, Fred Sanford, how he'd always say, Elizabeth,
I'm coming to join you. Yeah.
And he could get his son Lamont to do anything he wanted, but that's undeserved guilt, you see. Guilt is like a traffic cop. Say, hey, are you doing something wrong? You know, to stop and ponder.
Right.
And if you aren't, then just throw that guilt away, just like you would a dirty diaper.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to know that, you know, you don't need to feel guilty in order just to maybe give just a little quality, maybe just a soaking bath or something like that. Just
or
little
a
small
trip
thing.
To Starbucks or a massage or a manicure, whatever.
Just small things that'll give you that time you need for yourself.
Yeah, well, that's why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, tell everybody how they can get their hands on this book.
Go to Amazon, and I'm going to steal a line from The Godfather. You know, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. What we're going to do is we're cutting the Kindle price from $10 down to 99 cents.
Oh, okay.
And that's a 90% reduction, in case you're paying attention.
Yeah.
Just go and type in my name, David Nassani, or the title of the book, It's My Life Too. And it's only for the Kindle. We have paperbacks also. And so we also have a book signing at Mount Pleasant, Barnes & Noble. So come on out, you know, we'll rap, we'll hug, we'll kiss, we'll cry, I don't know. And you don't even have to be a caregiver. Go buy a book for a caregiver, you know. Not only will you bless them, but you'll probably save their life.
Right.
Because a third of caregivers actually die before their loved ones do. That's incredible.
Wow.
And the ones that don't die, Well, they just get sicker than the ones they're caring for, right. And then they eventually need a caregiver themselves.
Right, and it goes back to what you said. If you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of someone
else? Like Elton John said, it's a sad, sad situation.
Yeah, definitely.
What do we do?
All right, Dave, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us know about this, ways that we can get our caregiver sanity back.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And we're back with me, Dave Nassani. I apologize. That's an old show that I did when our Kindle was on sale, 99 cents. It's still 50% of what it should be, $6.95. Still a great price. So thank you so much. Tune in next Wednesday at noon, and we'll see you then. Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.